learned about that, then Kennedy has a motivation for smashing the CIA into 1,000 pieces, and they in turn have a motivation to get rid of him.
Incredible. This is the face-off underneath the surface battle between the presidents and the CIA.
Right.
Absolutely fascinating. And at the heart of it is the exotic technology.
Technology. Right.
Because after all, that's why we're getting these guys over in paperclip.
Well, if we want to go to the moon, and folks, let me go on record here. I am not an Apollo hoaxer. I think we went to the moon.
Right.
Are there questionable aspects of the narrative of how we got there, and more importantly, how we got off of it? Absolutely. No two questions about it.
Well, it's so mysterious. Even believing that they went, of course, you know, and it seems obvious that they went, and yet there's so many odd things about it, like the filming of the false version of it.
Well, not only that, but the real problem is, how did we get off?
Yes.
And, you know, von Braun lost his job at NASA. You know, we land on the moon and, you know, everybody in the world is going, gaga, congratulations, USA, you did it, blah, blah, blah. And we're feeling, you know, we're feeling pretty good about ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And then within 3 weeks, and, you know, Wernher von Braun was the toast of, you know, every party in D.C. And then within 3 weeks, he's resigned from NASA, and he takes this weird job at Fairchild Industries, and then he just kind of fades from view. Well, he gave an interview in what I think ended his career at NASA. He gave that very strange little interview to Time magazine. It appeared in one of their little boxes at the bottom of the page. I remember it very well because I've read it. And he's talking about, you know, oh, at 43,950 miles or some figure, around 43,000 miles, the spacecraft hit the equigravisphere, the neutral point of gravity between the Earth and the moon. And then from that point, it's the moon's gravity that's carrying this thing towards the moon. And it was after that little slip that he's out of there. Why? Because run the numbers. 1/6 the gravity is going to be a place much closer to the surface of the moon than 43,000 miles.
Interesting.
He let out the fact that I think the Soviet and American space agencies had begun to suspect, because they kept sending probes to the moon and they kept, you know, zinging by the moon or crashing into the moon, but they couldn't get it right. Well, if you're dealing with the wrong figures for its gravity, then that's going to be how your probes are going to behave. They're not going to behave the way they're supposed to.
Wow.
So I think we let it out.
Incredible.
Yeah.
And it also lets out the idea that we don't know as much about the moon as we think we do in the public.
And it also lets out the idea of why you'd put someone like Kurt Davis in charge of the Apollo missions.
Right. Yes.
Because you're using a hidden technology to get us there and to get us off of there.
Right.
So I suspect, ever since I published SS Brotherhood of the Bell way back when, I suspect that a deal was made between the NASA people and their Nazis to get access to some of that technology that could get us there and off.
Mm-hmm.
And in return, they would have access to whatever we found.
Wow.
Which I suspect was considerable. And I suspect that it's that bargain that is really behind why NASA can't tell the truth of what it's finding out there.
Fascinating. You think they found ruins when they went to the moon?
Well, I think I'm in the Hoagland camp. I think they not only found ruins there, I think they found them on Mars. And I think they made a dirty deal with, you know, the Nazi devil to share whatever real intelligence we gathered. And that's the reason that NASA can't tell any truth.
Wow.
There's an agreement in play.
It's amazing because, you know, they're talking about Artemis, of course, setting it up. They sent this capsule up there. They had a bunch of delays, like eight delays.
Well, we've run out of German rocket scientists.
Right.
Well, we need to find some new ones. Hey, Lord, Germany.
Lord of mercy.
Yeah, Lord have mercy.
When you look at that and you see that from 1972 to 2022, we haven't sent anybody back to the moon.
Right.
That's 50 years of complete abandoning of the manned space missions. What's the heart of that? That's the development of the secret space program.
Well, I think it's the development of the secret space program, but you'll notice something. Everybody talks about America hasn't been back. Well, the Russians certainly could have gone.
Yes. Right.
They're not interested.
Right.
The Chinese have gone. They've sent probes to the far side of the moon. They let out a couple pictures, which were interesting.
Yeah.
But they ain't talking. A few years ago, you remember, the Japanese sent this school bus-sized satellite to the moon and were snapping pictures like nobody's business, and they let out one.
Right.
One. The Indians have been back and orbited the moon with a polar orbiter, and they let out, I think it was two or three. So in other words, everybody's going back there, but nobody's talking.
Interesting. And the gap of time of 50 years, it's the complete inexplicable gap in history.
Right.
It's like it's like the 18-minute gap on the Watergate tapes. It's just erased, you know, 50 years of non-development. You have these, like, oh, we have a shuttlecraft, you know, and they have problems with those. Joseph, when you look at that, that is absolutely fascinating because there's no good explanation for it. There's no good explanation for the original moon story.
Well, remember, the very first studies of the moon were based in the late 1950s, and they were optical telescopic studies of the moon that were top secret.
Mm.
In other words, they were snapping pictures like crazy long before any probes were sent there. And all of those things are top secret.
Amazing.
So my conclusion is, you don't have, Daniel, you don't have to, you can go online and take pictures, you know, find pictures of the moon, and you start looking at it carefully and closely, and you'll start finding all sorts of junk.
Well, we know that they've made a serious effort to airbrush those original books and photos and everything. And there is this person who came forward, and he had been at NASA, and he was being shown that there were all these structures on the far side of the moon, and he realized he got scared. He was like, I don't have the security clearance to be looking at this. And he knew he was, you know, that was a problem.
Well, you know the story of Richard Hoagland going through, you know, the catalogs of the Apollo missions, and they have all of these, you know, plates of photographs that you can order. And there's lots of these blank plates that are nothing but black, you know, and they'll be right in the middle of a bunch. So Hoagland says, oh, I want to order that one. So he orders, he orders a picture from a plate that in the catalog is nothing but black.
Wow.
And he gets this picture and is full of stuff, you know.
Wow.
So again, I would not be a bit surprised. I think there's been an embargo put on in place, and that this embargo has something to do with the Nazis, number one. But here's, you know, here it comes, folks. As I'm crawling out to the end of the twig, I might as well crawl off of it. In 2015, at the Bastrop Space Program conference, I talked about the Slavonic text of the Book of Enoch.
Right.
And how in that text, the orbit of the moon is used to describe a kind of quarantine zone around the Earth.
Interesting.
It's kind of like the Treaty of Versailles demilitarized zone that begins at the Rhine River in Germany. No military forces on the west bank of the Rhine.
Excellent point.
Okay. So in other words, it's a quarantine zone that you're setting up around the planet. And it's very old, obviously. But that idea implies that there is some sort of treaty in place that, you know, is millennia, if not eons, old for whatever reason. And, you know, I the books I've written, I think it's because we fought a war and blew right. up a planet, you know.
Yes.
so, bad little monkeys, you stay on that planet.
Right, exactly.
Leave the rest of us alone. You know?
Well, you've made a fantastic case for it. I found corroboration in the Edgar Cayce readings.
Oh, sure. Case. Yeah.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, he talks about wars and quarantine zones. You know, it's not as if this is a big secret.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the other possibility here is that, you know, we're sending out all these space probes to, you know, the planets and so on and so forth. We always make a point to put on the probes a little plaque. We're coming in peace for all mankind.
Right.
Like, who are we worried about out there?
who's planning to read it? Yeah.
Yeah. Who's planning to read that? So, you know, the other possibility here is that there is an embargo over all of these things.
Right.
Because some other group of people is involved. And quite frankly, they have leads, you know, to use our financial language, they have leads on all of that stuff.
Exactly.
So who knows? You know, I entertain all possibilities.
That's a great explanation for a 50-year gap. If you go up there and you have problems,
right?
then you're not going to send anything back up there, and you'll make up some excuse like, "Oh, it's not in the budget," even though you've already laid the budget out for it.
Yeah, that's a little problem. And, you know, there are those who say that Apollo 13, you know, the one that had all the things happening to it. There are people that believe that there was some sort of UFO event that got all of that started. Now, I've never seen any solid evidence for it, but there are people that make that claim that, you know, this was the warning,
mm-hmm.
You know, quit coming up here and taking our rocks back down there.